Tonight, we get an update on how things are downstate with Representative Robert Martwick. Then later, our friends at Moxie's stop by the Showcase Studio. And finally, Hannah Stanley weighs in on America's changing diet. All that and more right now on Pretty Late with Patty Vasquez.
Craig, I can't start the show right now. I'm watching the Cubs game. We're in the bottom of the 12th. Milwaukee's at the bat.
That's why you're jumping up and down?
Very excited. No, I've been waiting all day to do this show. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This is one of those days where, like, I should have called you. I had so many things to say day long.
Were you listening to other shows?
I was listening to other shows.
Oh, man.
So much stuff about the TSA, Airbnb. I'm not a big conspiracy theorist, but I got a big bone to pick with people.
The people at the airport all think that it's a conspiracy.
Okay, all the people in line, because you were there.
Yeah, I was there today.
You were on the front
lines. I
was
there this morning, yeah.
A very long front
line. Right when it opened.
I go to the airport all the time.
Uh-huh.
I try to get first flights out. I am often at the airport at about 6 a.m.
Yeah.
You were there at 4 a.m.
3:45.
And it was packed.
Yes, it was. Yeah, it was really, really packed. And actually, some of the people getting in line with us, because we finally made it to the actual line after checking her bag at like 4 o'clock.
Right. Was that first line at Delta, was that for Delta or was that for TSA?
That was all TSA for American Airlines or I don't know what flights, but it was just one line. They only had one thing open, one gate thing open when we got there.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was the whole line. And actually, when we were getting in line at about 4, some people had boarding at 4:30. They were like behind me talking about how they're like, my plane boards at 4:30. No chance you're going to make it.
How early had they gotten there?
They got there after us, so probably 4 o'clock.
Well, that was stupid.
Yeah, that was real stupid.
That's their own problem.
Yeah. And then actually, I should say that right around 4:30, someone did walk up and say anyone boarding right now can go over to a different area. So they did let people cut.
And then everybody goes over there.
Yeah, and then that line got huge.
Yes.
But it still took an hour and a half, 2 hours to get through just the line to get her, yeah.
Well, and I was on Facebook around that time you were in line because there was our good friend of the show, Lenny Schmidt, was trying to catch a flight out of Oklahoma, and it was a chaos there because right now it has seemed as though it's Chicago, but he was flying out of Oklahoma, similar situation. And by the way, the TSA pre-check that everyone's talking about, that doesn't open until 7 a.m. at most airports. And there are many airports across the country that don't even have a TSA pre-check. So if some people are thinking that perhaps this is the way to make people spend more money on that. But I don't even
understand. It was weird, though, because there was a woman walking up saying, who is TSA pre-check? Who is TSA pre-check?
Oh, really?
And that almost felt like an advertisement because that person just kept walking up to all of us saying,
right, and no one said yes.
Over here? Yeah, a couple people did, and they moved over, and that line seemed way better.
That line is way better.
Yeah.
So that even at 4:30, they opened it because it's still TSA. It's not like those aren't like just a shorter line. So TSA pre-check, and I know we're going over this over and over again. I did this last year, and it used to also be a random occurrence. Esmeralda, do you have a chance to do you travel?
I haven't recently on a plane. At least.
So they do this thing sometimes where they would have random flyers. So the random travelers would be selected to have TSA pre-check, which feels like they're winning a lottery. And I don't know how they did it, if it was just people who flew frequently enough that they knew that you'd been checked, you know, your ID had been processed enough times at TSA. But in order to always get TSA pre-check, you have to go to the website for the TSA. And they do a little bit of background check. You have to go into an office. You get a fingerprint. You pay they say $85. I think that number is different in some places. It's somewhere between $85 and $100. I've heard people say, quote, different numbers. I've done it, and it is helpful, but it is getting to that point now where it seems to me as though they are trying to get everybody into TSA pre-check. And so those lines are going to be longer. And so then I believe Justin was just talking about this last night. So they're going to be like a platinum TSA pre-check where you can take liquids through and everything and no one cared. I don't know what the projection of this is. But when I saw a headline that said there are aldermen and other politicians throughout the country who want to privatize TSA, my brain immediately went to, there's a lot of money coming from someone. And these politicians are being, you know, there's a slowdown, whether it's a slowdown, willfully at the airports, if they're being pressured, if the TSA is being pressured by somebody. It just seems like a money thing.
Yeah.
It seems like it's either a union thing or someone's whispering into politicians' ears and sliding them an envelope.
If in the next few months Chris Christie winds up being a part of the TSA, I'm done. That's all.
Can you imagine? And then he's mad at you, and then your TSA line is closed because you were on a way to do a thing.
Exactly.
And oh, that would be bad.
All of it sounds terrible.
That sounds really bad.
No, but everyone in line kept saying that was the only conversation we were all having.
What were the theories in line? That it was a union thing? That it was a privatization thing?
It seems purposeful. And a lot of people were saying that they think the TSA is trying to make more people buy the TSA pre-check.
But I don't know how, because TSA then has to pay the people in the offices. There's a processing part of it. So I guess they figure they're making money off of that.
I don't know. That's just what everyone, because obviously a lot of the people on the line don't want to pay the money, or they didn't plan for it, because we just started hearing about this week.
Right.
But
that's
what everybody felt.
I'm very upset.
Can I also ask how many people that were around you in that line got ready and took off their coat and their shoes and took out everything they needed to do?
This is a good question.
Well,
they all seem prepared?
Because that makes me so mad.
When we were way,
don't get ready.
When we were way, way far in the back of the line.
Well, yeah, not in the back, but in the front.
Yeah, as you approached it, yes, everyone was getting ready because we had so much time.
Good.
Yeah.
Because that makes me so mad when people don't do it. It's like, come on, you know.
But those people have always been there. DiCarlo was talking about this last night. People who are not familiar with how it goes, what the rhythm of it is, how to be efficient, they've always been there. There have always been people who like haven't flown in a long time and don't remember it's a Ziploc bag with your 3-ounce bottles and take your laptop out and take your shoes off, take your belt off. Not everybody has that down. So they've always been there. There have always been the families with the strollers and the kids and the baby formula, and you forgot to take out your water bottle.
They made a line, didn't they? Isn't there a family line so they get all backed up and then everyone else can
We had kids.
Yeah.
We had children and stuff.
Nope. Yeah.
I thought I heard that they had done that. They made a family line because
there was no family line at 4 a.m.
At 4 a.m. they're not going to do it because there's not enough people now.
I think that, and I don't know, I know for our family, because we have a child with a disability, we can request some assistance from the airlines. And so you're assigned a person like from United, and they will kind of escort you ahead, right? Because, we have a wheelchair too. So there's more to, it's very difficult for us, you know, with making sure we have everything ready to go, and in particular with Declan, and he doesn't understand what we're, you know, going through and why this is happening. So United Airlines has always been very nice. American Airlines has always been helpful. So I wonder if they do that for bigger families who are, you know, need extra help, and senior citizens. I wonder if they say, hey, if you needed extra assistance, we'll assign you someone from the airline and help you get, you know, smoothly through the process, not just to help you, but also to make sure the travelers around you are able to progress in an efficient manner. But this is getting a little ridiculous. So that's the one thing that I have a conspiracy about. But two, I don't understand this Airbnb thing. Why is the mayor trying to come down on Airbnbs and doesn't really? He said, well, you know, this is something that has to be monitored. People are you know, these are businesses and there are people's lives at danger. Like Uber? And we're not regulating Uber, but your brother seems to have some sort of financial stake involved there. Is that, I'm just saying, it seems a little bit like perhaps there is, I don't know, personal interest involved? Am I being too crazy? I don't know. We'll check.
I don't think you're being crazy.
Right?
All that makes sense.
I mean, I get that you should have some sort of regulation to make sure that people who are guests know what, in case of an emergency, and there should be, you know, some sort of...
Airbnbs, though, don't you get to stay in somebody's house when they're not there?
Yeah.
It's not always that there's people home, so you would be in less danger if you're staying in a house that's empty than you would in a car with someone.
That's what I was wondering about today.
Right.
But they don't want to regulate Uber drivers. They want to regulate Airbnb.
Mm.
I kind of see those two as very similar situations. Am I missing the point?
Nope. I think you're on top of it.
But let's absolutely go after Airbnb and not Uber.
Right.
Let's definitely do that.
Because my brother.
Because my brother.
Kind of doing
not
some
my
stuff.
Brother. And
right. Not our brother.
Not our brother.
Right.
Mayor Emanuel's brother.
That guy
has a big stake in Uber.
Yep.
Seems convenient that we go. So I think there's a lot of this going on right now. I can understand why people are voting for Trump. It all makes more sense now.
Steve Cochran Show.
Cook County Sheriff Tom Dart. Is he running for mayor? Well, we got plenty to talk to him about at 7:10. And Ryan Dempster on two great baseball teams at 8:40.
Steve Cochran starts your Thursday tomorrow morning on 720 WGN.
Did you know that over 98% of adults are afraid of the dentist? You're not alone. If you dread going to the dentist, have difficulty getting numb, can't stand the sound of the drill, or have a strong gag reflex, the professional staff at Dr. Brown's Family Dental Office understand your fears and concerns. Try this out for size. Sleep through it. Dr. Brown's is one of only a few dental offices that offers intravenous sedation. Complete your dental work in one appointment and in a relaxed and comfortable sleep. You won't even remember the sound of the drill. Dr. Brown has over 30 years of expertise with the most advanced and innovative technology and techniques, all to make your appointment more comfortable and pain-free. Call today for a free, no-obligation consultation. 630-796-4220. Dental work is a dream when you snooze through it. Call Dr. Brown, 630-796-4220, or online at drthomasbrown.com. Open evenings and Saturdays. Most insurance is accepted. Financing available. Dr. Brown's Family Dental Office. drthomasbrown.com.
The best-kept secret for luxury and performance, Jaguar. The best-kept secret to obtain an approved certified pre-owned Jaguar, Howard Orloff Jaguar. Did you know Howard Orloff Jaguar has been proudly serving Chicagoland for over 55 years? And did you know at Howard Orloff, you can get 0.9% APR financing on select 2012 to 2015 approved certified pre-owned Jaguar models? And did you know approved certified pre-owned Jaguar models include a 6-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, a 165-point inspection, and 24/7 roadside assistance? Hi, I'm Dave Ennett. Isn't it time you know Howard Orloff Jaguar? Visit Howard Orloff Jaguar just off the Kennedy at Armitage or online at howardorloffjaguar.com. Financing with approved credit coverage begins on the vehicle's original date of retail sale or in use state. See Howard Orloff Jaguar for details. Offer expires 5/31/16.
With Chicago Tribune Sports Plus, you can relive the best moments of the game anytime you want. Start your 30-day trial at chicagotribune.com/sportsplus. It's a sad fact. Nursing home negligence is a serious problem. Neglect of elderly residents happens when nursing homes are understaffed. Nursing home negligence includes medication errors, malnutrition and dehydration, falls, pressure sores, and failing to follow doctor's orders. If you suspect a loved one is a victim of negligence or abuse in a nursing home, call Conasec & Dillon. The law firm of Conasec & Dillon will advise and help your family through the painful ordeal of injuries or death caused by nursing home negligence. Conasec & Dillon understands that turning the care of a loved one over to a nursing home or professional caregiver is one of life's most difficult decisions. You deserve only the best care for your loved ones in return. Protect your loved ones. Call the law offices of Conasec & Dillon at 630-262-9655. Consultations are always free. Call Conasec & Dillon at 630-262-9655. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I was amped right before the show started. I started getting amped. One of the Cubs are in their 11th inning. The Brewers are
bottom of the 12th.
Is it bottom of 12? Oh, I'm looking at the wrong number. I need my glasses. Hold on a second.
Yeah, no, there's been 11 pitches.
What's 11? Oh, 11 pitches by this guy.
Yeah,
right. By this guy. Did he just ask for a different mitt a moment ago?
He might have. That would be a good way because the bases are loaded with one out in the bottom of the 12th.
One way to sort of slow down
Brewers
the momentum.
Oh. And that's popped up in the
that's
air.
That's out.
That's actually a pretty good, yeah.
That was nice. Infield out. There we go.
There you go.
Got a shortstop. Grabbed it. he's adorable, by the way. Who is that? Because I always, every time I see him,
Addison
I'm like,
Russell?
He's adorable.
Okay.
All right, then. So I point that out. He's very cute.
That's good.
It's the bottom of the 12th. Well, so look, it was a third baseman that switches mitt. He's doing it again. Why did he do that?
Bryant? He might be going to the outfield. It looks like he's jogging to the outfield.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, so they're doing this because the batter is someone they presume will be more of a power hitter?
I don't know. Right, I'm kind of half paying attention to what's happening. You know, Rob Martier might be able to tell us what's going on.
He's got things to do. There's news to cover. A lot going on.
Just watch the
world.
Cubs game.
Okay, here we go. there's a lefty on the mound. By the way, he uses a Rawlings.
This
I use a Rawlings mitt, too.
Your play-by-play play is really good.
Yes, I am excellent. Yeah, I can't read that guy's name on the back of his shirt. Number 10 for the Brewers. He's taking a little bit of a leadoff from the second base. Oh. That was a strike. That was right down the middle. I'm just going to say.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. What kind of pitch do you think it was?
That seemed like a fastball.
Got it.
Yeah, right down the middle.
Nice.
You want to catch it?
All right. The fans look like they're excited.
I do love Milwaukee games when we're away because there are so many Cubs fans travel for that game. Right. Oh, that was a little inside. Was that a strike? Let's see. Oh, no, that was a ball. That was a little too inside. I thought so. What?
Hill is 1-1 on Wood.
Mm-hmm.
Wood is the pitcher.
Yes. We weren't mistaking it for something else. I know. It's two outs, by the way, in case anyone's
There's
wondering.
Two outs now.
Bases are loaded.
You could call those bases jacked.
Jacked.
The bases are jacked.
Come on. Oh, strike.
Now that was a ball.
I know. It was a little inside again. Yeah, a little low, too.
Low and inside.
All right, then. I do like.
I like this. We should do this all the time. Some people complain that you know we no longer have
sports.
Baseball team.
Do we get in trouble? Can I do this?
Am I allowed? We could do this. You're watching TV.
It's WGN television, as a matter of fact, right?
So right.
This should be totally okay.
I mean, we're not actually at the game.
No,
this is not real.
We're not broadcasting the game.
Yeah,
right?
No, in no way, shape, or form.
Oh, and by the way, the catcher stepped out a little bit to his right. That was a strike.
Do you want me to do some radio magic where you have like background noise and it
sounds
like
a game?
We're there, yeah. Like, I can get like crowd,
like maybe a little bit of the Bull Durham. Can we just play a little bit of Bull Durham like we're at that game instead? I like that. Look, the Cubs fans are going. The eight Cubs fans are going. Look at how many empty seats there are.
Since you weren't sure what players were up, you could just call them Bull Durham names.
Yes. It's Nuke Lelouch on the mound.
Nuke.
Crash is digging in a little bit. Oh, as a foul ball.
That's intense that Nuke is pitching to Crash.
A little bit.
That trade was big.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
All right. Then. the batter just fouled. So he's the count is
2-2. 2-2-9-8-1-7-2-0-0. Are you enjoying our play-by-play?
I doubt it. I'm going to
I'm liking it.
I'm going to go ahead and say that they don't. But there are moments when you go, Patty's a little distracted because the Cubs are in extra innings. Bottom
of
the 12th.
I know they're on a different station now, but I'm sure that we could fill in sometime.
They're on WGN television. That was inside. Drop.
You could do the play-by-play and I do the color, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is our team now.
We're full count right now.
Right.
Yes, our team.
Esmeralda, would you want to be part of our baseball team?
she's got snacks.
Do I get a hot dog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then yes.
Every game, we get at least one hot dog.
Why do Cubs fans always look like they're praying when things are on the line? We're so used to being disappointed, we have to beg for help from God.
When I was the public address announcer for a minor league baseball team, mm-hmm. one of the biggest benefits was that I could get anything I wanted from the concession stand at any point.
Right.
Just one?
Oh, nice. Oh, like
okay,
all the time?
No, like
here comes
anything.
The pitch. Here comes the pitch.
Fat.
Oh,
yeah.
No, ump is calling.
It was amazing.
Why is it ump? What's the ump calling it for?
There was a time. They called for time at the plate.
The batter did?
Correct.
Jerk. Whatever. Trying to reset. Reset. He's got to get some of that dirt off his cleats. Whatever. All right, then. Okay. Batter's
so good, yeah.
He's back in the box.
Right. He's ready.
Pitch is going.
3-2 pitch.
He goes for the windup.
Mm-hmm.
The two outs. Bases are loaded.
Two outs. Bases. Jack.
There he goes. Pitches in. Oh, foul ball. Oh, catch it.
That's
infield foul.
In the infield.
Infield fly ball. There we go, gentlemen.
And there you go. Cubs got out of the inning. That was big.
Was that bases loaded big?
Bases loaded, one out.
Was that the second baseman that...
that was the first baseman who ran over to make that catch.
Yeah.
That
was Maldonado who had the infield fly out.
That is correct.
Just checking something. I'm sure I got some of these names. Look, this guy's giving him a thumbs up. He's got his rally hat on. What?
I wish we had planned this. It's in the 12th inning. We can't plan this.
Yeah. No, we never get to...
This is such a good segment.
But this is better than when the Cubs... Well, I can't say it's better than when the Cubs are on our station, but we would have to wait. We wouldn't be able to talk during Cubs games.
Have you seen the viral video of this kid at... I think it's Indiana University who's doing play-by-play during... a college news station thing. Passes to the man. Like, it's so funny. He panics and has no idea what's going on.
Yeah, you got to know all the players.
Yeah,
you gotta
I will post that on our Facebook page for anyone.
And now there's a State Farm commercial. Jake the... what does she say? She sounds ugly.
For anyone that prefers TV to radio, which one, you're wrong. But two, we will go ahead and do a segment each night where Patty tells you what's on TV.
Yes, I will.
Yeah.
I think that some of
I hate these commercials.
Yeah.
This is Comcast or whatever this is.
I think it's DirecTV.
Well, I think they're making fun of Dish. They're making fun of Dish, and then Comcast is going to be like, our technology is better. These are so dumb.
Yeah, it's dumb.
Right. Try to cancel your service, two people in the Comcast commercial.
Oh,
you're screwed.
Anytime you try to cancel anything, it's impossible. We've talked about health clubs you can't cancel.
No.
Do you ever try closing a bank account at a place called, let's say it rhymes with Mace?
Can't figure that one out.
I can't. I went in there to close an account. I ended up opening like a savings account.
I
wanted to leave. Yeah. Yes. It was one of those moments where they were charging me a fee for not making enough transactions.
Yeah.
They had up there, it's like $11 a month if you don't use their services. But I said, I am using your service. I'm leaving my money here.
Right. You guys have my money right now.
And I haven't touched it in so long. They have actually put a lock on my account.
From the 949, finally comes back on my favorite radio station. Yep, this is really happening.
This is happening. Number 59's on the mound.
We have to take a break, and then we have to do news. But Carlos Torres is on the mound.
Carlos Torres. He has an ERA of 3.6. I can't. My television's a little too fuzzy.
No,
it's
totally fine. Great.
Let's say I'm going to watch this inning. More after this on 720 WGS.
Sing it down,
You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. We are going to call Representative Martwick in just a moment. I asked him if he could hang on because the team that I prefer, just to avoid any legal issues that we are concerned about that we've received from texters and other individuals who are worried for our professional safety.
We are in no way going to give any sort of play-by-play.
No, I will tell you that the team that I favor is at bat. And
they're playing a baseball game,
and they're in the 13th, top of the 13th. Oh, hello. I'm not telling you what happened. That was not something I liked. How's that? That's a shame.
And, something poor.
So this is how we're going to do this for a couple minutes until we're out of this. as soon as we get out of, not out of the inning, but
We have texters that like this segment, by the way, for
I understand.
Anyone confused. We have a lot of texters saying things like, I was so glad to have play-by-play back on my favorite radio
station. But this is not play-by-play?
That's not what this is.
Legally speaking, let's call Rich Lenkov and ask
him.
I'm
so happy the Cubs are back on WGN Radio. Again, that's not a thing.
I'm trying not to.
I don't think the Cubs are on radio anymore. I don't think their games are broadcast.
I can't find them is the problem. Yeah. I don't know where that is.
I don't know.
The button does not exist in my car for
nope.
that. No,
it doesn't.
I can't. So,
it's too
all
bad.
Right. So there's a pitcher with a certain color of shirt on. They're doing that, are they? All right, then. I guess that's happening. Why would he decide to do that?
Decide if I should close my microphone so I don't just laugh a lot? But you're saying stuff like, oh, they're doing that.
I guess he's going with that move. All right, then.
In a game, I'm just speaking, generally here, not for any specific game.
This is a strategic move.
Sometimes you walk a guy to load the bases with two outs, and also because the batter, you think they might beat you.
Yes.
And you want to face the guy behind him.
I'm not going to say what just happened, but I always laugh when it's like that obvious. I mean, like, because you have to go through the motion of throwing the ball anyway when you've clearly. Although I think it would be great if you pitched out to somebody, right, that you think you're going to walk, and then you just start throwing strikes.
That would be awesome.
And you fire it down the middle. Right,
but baseball players are so good at reacting in a split second that I don't think it would trick the guy at the plate.
That's true. So that guy's a bat. I've met him. I believe I've met him at the.
You're also pointing at the television you're watching, and no one on the radio can hear that. But that's
WGNradio.com. You can actually watch the game over my shoulder if you'd like. Oh, nice swing.
If someone were swinging a bat.
Yes, if that were to be a situation.
If that's what someone were doing.
There's two outs. So
two outs, top of the 13th, the bases
are loaded.
Could be loaded in an update.
Yes, but we haven't said who's at bat.
We're not saying
the team
that
I prefer is at bat right now.
Yeah.
It's a weird stance he's got. Because his front leg, right?
This feels close to describing stuff.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
I'm in trouble there?
Well, we don't know. We're not in trouble for anything.
I like that you're brushing me back from the plate.
I did. I brushed you back a little bit.
All right.
We started to veer into territory.
Let me reset. All right, so if I get my bat back up and I'm just...
You know what I could do?
I
could just play a breaking news sounder every few seconds, and this is all breaking news.
You should have some sort of sound alarm when I'm crossing the line in my description of the game. By the way, I've chosen to ask a representative from my district to hold on a minute while I goof around watching this Cubs
true.
Game.
We just sent a message to a representative.
I did. And said, could you wait? Because I got to be silly about this.
We were behind.
Yeah. Because I'm going to be distracted.
We have other guests.
I wonder if he's watching the game, too.
Probably.
That was close.
Is this how you watch a game normally, Patty?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why Griffin put Kleenex in his ears when we were watching with him one night. He was like, Mommy, you're so loud. So, yeah, I should turn the television off. That would be the more logical thing to do right now. But it's just very dramatic right now.
Well, we'll take phone calls. This is something that definitely a play-by-play group of
people
would do.
There you go. Wait a minute. Oh, yes! Yes! I'm sorry.
Patty, that's...
Yeah, baby.
That's
yeah, that
else.
Happened. That was an easy way to do that. That was an
you
easy way to make...
You must really enjoy your Argo tea.
So very good.
Yeah.
Hold on, let me see. I shouldn't have jumped up and down like that. I wasn't prepared.
That's fine.
All right, then.
Okay.
I'll have to
Dwayne's on the phone.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you doing? Oh, that was great.
Hey, Patty. How are you guys doing?
I'm very good. I have a question for Craig before we take your call, Dwayne. How long do I have to wait after something happens
that I can update?
I think you can update
on a score.
Can you give me a break? Just verbally.
I don't have any.
No, just verbally.
Dun, dun, dun. Breaking news time.
The Cubs just pulled ahead 2-1. On a walk, as a matter of fact. I just walked.
In the top of the 13th inning.
Guess that'll teach them to walk the guy before him. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Maybe they should have let
him. Not only are you now auditioning for play-by-play jobs, you're also trying to take Rob's job. Look at us doing breaking news updates.
Sorry,
how are we doing, Rob Martier?
Hey, he's working.
Yeah,
he's trying to get updates.
He's probably just laughing at us.
Hey, Dwayne, how are you doing? Oh,
I thought I heard Rob Santo back on the air or something. I love I love nonsensical emotionalizing the game.
Yep.
That way I can get into it too, and then you do it as well. I'm like, all right.
Yeah. No,
that's the way to radio the
all
game.
Amen.
Thank you so much, Dwayne. Are you watching the game or listening to? Because you can, you know,
I'm
what you can do.
To you guys,
you can watch the game and listen to us. Just
watch the game.
I can't have it on the game. They don't show it on TV.
WGN.
It actually would make a lot more sense to anyone listening to the radio to turn on the television.
Yes.
Then you'd know what you're reacting to.
Yes, this would be much more palatable.
Yeah.
Even if you don't like the Cubs. I mean, the team that I'm watching.
Right.
even if you're not a baseball, what word was I using there? I can't focus right now, Dwayne.
You're disguising your voice now with your words.
All right, that happened. Well, all right, Dwayne, we have to call the representative.
Ron's going to be proud of you.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. Oh, that's very sweet of you. That's the best compliment I think I've ever gotten in my career. Thank you, Dwayne. Have a good night.
You too.
Talk to you in a little bit. Next time. All right, will you please call the representative? Should we wait till after? Let's just take a quick break. I got to go take care of a few things, mostly. Well, it's a commercial break anyway during the Cubs game. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. Joining us on the line, I apologize, Representative Martwick. I believe Craig has filled you in as to my distracted nature right now because of the game.
The imaginary game that is not happening for real anywhere.
Right.
Yes.
No.
Right.
No.
Exactly.
Legally speaking, this was an imaginary game we were making up.
Representative Martwick, you are of a legal background. Do you have any familiarity with the broadcasting legal aspects?
None whatsoever.
Okay.
I want to keep it that way.
All right. Are you in Springfield right now?
I am.
And how did today go? Because there are rumblings that we may be getting closer to some sort of an agreement, and I'm not buying it.
Well, there's always rumblings, and I think people are always optimistic, and I will remain optimistic, but I'm kind of with you until I see something. I don't know. I have a hard time imagining the governor dropping enough of his anti-union agenda to actually agree to the numbers. The numbers are easy to figure out, Patty. They're simple math. We can find the answer financially to the budget problem. It's just whether or not he wants to drop his agenda before we proceed.
And as far as how to come to the numbers and generate, I mean, is he still standing firm against generating tax? Because he said he would negotiate when it comes to raising taxes. And for people who aren't familiar, the state of Illinois, before, I believe, was it last year when the previous temporary taxes that expired, we were at 5%. We are now at 3.75% for
income tax. That's correct. We were at 5% flat tax. We were the 16th lowest tax in the country. At 3.75% flat, we are the 8th lowest income tax in the country. So that's where we went back to, and that drop caused a $5 billion hole in the budget. And even the governor has acknowledged that, you know, like you said, it's not trigonometry or calculus, it's arithmetic. And there's no way to do it without revenue. And so he knows that. And so he's acknowledged that that's the only way to get it done. Every single member of the Republican Party acknowledges that that's the only way to get it done. It's just a matter of whether or not, you know, he's always said, I won't even talk about it until you address my turnaround agenda. So where that is, what the status of that is, I do not.
And I'm guessing the numbers of people protesting are growing every week as you guys are down there trying to get work done and not being able to make any headway on the budget. What kind of stories are you hearing from your constituents?
Well, there's a lot of stories. The funding cuts are affecting tons. Right in, not too far from yours and my neighborhood, is a place called the Polish American Association, which is a social service agency. And the executive director there told me, and they do wonderful things. I mean, addiction counseling and domestic violence counseling, job training, English second language, citizens shops, job placement. They do all sorts of great stuff. And she's told me that some of her staff are now becoming her clients.
Oh.
Meaning they went from working and earning a living, providing services, now they're in need of them.
Right.
And because of these massive budget cuts. So they're huge. Right now, I mean, you know, the big focus right now, I think, in our neighborhood and in most of Chicago is the CPS financial disaster, which, of course, if you ask CPS, Forrest Claypool, he will tell you that it's all because of we're cutting funding in Springfield, which is the biggest lie perpetuated on the citizens of the city of Chicago since, well, I'm not sure since when, but at least in my memory. Obviously, Springfield has been actually increased funding for Chicago public schools in the last year. And so, but they're, you know, the mayor doesn't want to wear the jacket for any of his bad moves, certainly not this one. So they've run this PR campaign where we've been cutting funding every year for Chicago public schools, which is nonsense.
Well, and I know that there are a lot of people that have reached out to us. In particular, we've heard from Judy, who's a listener who relies heavily on the Library for the Blind at the Harold Washington Library, and she's received notice that they're going to be eliminating that in June. Have you heard about that?
I haven't heard about that. I'm not surprised. Again, the budget cuts we've seen this from day one, have largely impacted two classes of people, the most vulnerable citizens, and that one was easy to see. People like, you know, a Library for the Blind, paratransit services, domestic
yes.
violence shelters, rape crisis centers, people, you know, addiction counseling. So those things were easy to see coming. I think the one that a lot of people missed is that much of the budget crisis has really hurt the middle class, people in our neighborhood. You've got middle class, hardworking people, families, and, you know, the budget cuts have affected AP education and college tuition, making the dream of a middle class kid going to college just so much more expensive, maybe even unobtainable.
It's frustrating because, again, these are the kinds of stories that I think are harder to. There's another an email I got from a listener whose mother needs in-home care, and they've lost some of that support as well.
Huge. The cuts to in-home care are devastating, and they're one of the cuts, Patty, that I say from the very get-go. I even talked about that very issue with the governor when he was first elected, and I had he invited a group of legislators over to dinner, and I confronted him with that. I said, Governor, not every cut saves us money. When you cut in-home care and you force senior citizens out of their home in the nursing homes, we eventually are going to have to foot that bill. And
right.
that bill is going to be a lot bigger than just paying for in-home care for a couple. I mean, it's not hard to figure out the math that 3 days of a couple hours a day, 3 days a week, a couple hours each day, is going to cost you a lot less than 24 hour around the
yes.
clock in-home care. I mean,
right.
Institutional care.
This is
so,
right. This is a woman who whose mother is paralyzed and suffers from MS. They live in Illinois, and the state has cut the number of hours her mom gets for personal assistance, even though she needs more help. They had to let go of a personal care assistant, and she
yeah.
this woman is not able to go to work. So not only are is she vulnerable to possibly having to have her mother in a full-time care, she also is unable to earn her own living. And this is just one of those things where you're like, this
right.
makes no sense. And it
no.
and it felt this way last year where it seemed, you know, when you're going after services that, as you mentioned, are for our most vulnerable, this is a part of the population that is least likely to be able to, you know, get their resources together and go down to Springfield or even have the time or you know, wits about them to go to their representatives or their senators' offices and plead their cases. It's just so frustrating.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this a little bit later. I didn't mean to bring this up with you, but I don't know if you had
That's
seen
me.
This woman who was sentenced today she was sentenced to 4 years of jail for killing her adult daughter who had cerebral palsy. She was 28 years old. And this is one of the things you and I talked about last year. I've mentioned this to many representatives. And I always see that look from some people of like, it sounds like the most drastic situation where I know that there are parents who lose hope, who have a break, where they can't imagine, they can't see forward. And they, you know, they get it in their head that they're better off, their child would be better off, they would be better off if both of them were dead. Most of the time, these parents intend to take their own lives as well. And we had people calling the station earlier, you know, very angry about this woman, saying she had to suffer, that she needed to pay for it. But she has. And I really believe that a lot of that had to do with whatever, you never know what that last straw is that's going to break somebody's
right.
back.
Well, and as you said, and we're, the governor has attacked this issue from all sides. For instance, like, you know, you talk about in-home care. Well, not only is he cutting in-home care, but he's also, like, restricting overtime hours. He is instituting wage freezes, and he's stripping away training for people who do provide home care, in-home care. Well, most of the people that provide in-home care, the average annual salary for in-home care providers is $17,000 a year. And it's like, really? So you're going to make their working conditions even worse to save a couple of bucks for who, right? I mean, I think the people that receive this service and the people who know the people who receive the service and the neighbors of the people who receive this service say, look, if I got to pay $50 a year more to make sure that my neighbors can stay in their home, live in a dignified fashion, because that, of course, protects my neighborhood when seniors are not running to the nursing homes and putting their homes on the market and selling them for discounted, right? I mean, I want to keep my neighborhood stable and active, and senior citizens are a valuable part of that. And but he's going after it from every angle, right? Yeah. And how about respite care, right? Huge cuts to respite care. Well, respite care, you talk about this woman who killed her daughter. I don't know the circumstances of it. But again, when you talk about people in that situation, they're at that last straw. Sometimes that respite care, that ability to get away for a couple of hours to just kind of go, wow, I can take a big deep breath and get my head around this enormous task that I'm going to have perhaps for the rest of my life, right? And we're making cuts to that. It makes no sense.
Well, I want to thank you, Representative Martwick, for joining us. I apologize for checking in with you late.
The
Cubs are still playing. I've had to bite my lip a couple times to not scream while we were talking, both about the state of our state, but also over the game. Can we check in with you again? And I promise to when you can come in, let me know when you're available in town too.
I look forward to it. We'll probably be here pretty solidly through the 31st of May, but hopefully we get something done by then.
Well, then I'll see you next Tuesday. I'll be in Springfield.
Sounds good.
Thanks, sir.
Thanks, Patty.
Absolutely. Thank you, too. More after this on 720 WGN. You're listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm not distracted at all. I'm totally not distracted at all. And I'm so very grateful that our friends Scott, Phil, and Rob from Moxie's are here, because I want to talk about the baseball game, so they brought food to shove in my face. So I don't do that, because Hannah Stanley, also joining us in the studio, is concerned for my professional safety, and that's fine.
I am a little bit worried about it, but that's okay, because I'm breathing fire
right
now.
What kind of broadcasting liabilities have you ever run into? Have you run into? She doesn't want to talk about it. Look at her face. Went, I'm not disgusted.
Yeah, and there's a blank.
And
just,
wow, that wall.
Just for clarity, right, for any listener or legal team that's paying attention to the night's broadcast, we are just recapping an imaginary game taking place between the Cubs of.
We're not carrying
Chicago.
The game. We're not carrying the game, right?
Right.
The broadcasting rights are for carrying the game.
Correct.
I've never been given any legal documentation as to what I can and can't say about a game that's in progress. That's actually, we're on a delay, right?
Correct.
And so are they.
Correct.
So technically,
we can't give any sort of descriptive play-by-play.
But it's not possible, because we don't have it live, and we're not actually.
Well, even if it's delayed, that wouldn't mitigate the. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I don't feel good about this in any manner.
there are fans clapping. That's not part of the game.
I have a beer.
Full count.
Beer.
I'm sorry. That's wrong.
Again, I cannot see a television, so I don't know what it
should. Okay, you turn your microphone. I think my headset's just gone.
Did someone turn the radio station off?
No, our headsets are. That. See?
All
of our headsets went off?
I've been.
Really?
Is someone shutting us? Is it shutting us down?
Yeah, I don't know.
What just happened?
I'm not going to say.
Rob, are you around for a breaking news of some kind? Some breaking news may have happened.
Yeah, something happened. I just want to know if I can say what just happened.
You know what's good is the sausage that's
Rob,
here.
Rob, are you aware of the breaking news that may
have
just happened?
Can you please deliver the news as our new official news person, what just happened?
What, in the Cubs game?
Well, I don't know. Just if there's some kind of breaking news.
I'm going to log back in.
Because
Moxie's brought in sausage.
The Cubs may have won a game 2-1 in the 13th inning. I think that might have happened.
I'm fine.
Well, you're allowed to report that.
Okay, all right. Okay. Then the Cubs have officially won. It is a final.
They won 2-1, yes.
2-1.
With a ground out to first.
Can we talk
news
about the
approval.
Sausage? I think Moxie's wants to talk about that as well. Now, we have with us Rob, who has explained the would you chorizo? Sausage?
Charisse.
Charisse. Because I tried correcting you, and you're like, no, I know what I'm talking about. Yeah. It's my sausage. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What kind of delightful sausage is Hannah eating right now?
I don't know. You tell me, Hannah.
It's a Charisse.
It was a Charisse, and then I was breathing fire. And so then I took the other...
The Sheboygan Brat or the Maxwell Polish?
Polish.
The
Polish. I went Polish.
It's a double garlic Polish, roasted garlic, fresh garlic. We're on Maxwell Street, so we had to make one. So.
Yeah, duh. Yeah. Was it fantastic?
It goes great with beer as well.
It does, which you've also brought us a Skylark IPA.
Correctamundo.
And is now Craft Beer Week, is that happening next week?
Craft Beer Week starts tomorrow, the 19th, and runs through the 29th. So
excellent.
It's a long week.
And they have their own, yes?
Like, food stuff is always like, it's restaurant week, the month of May. Like, I mean, it's just, they're just like, we're going to just decide when it happens, and we'll call it a week. It'll be fine. It's 10 days. Who cares?
Yeah. Well, this is exciting, because I know with craft beer, everyone's so passionate about the you know, different blends that they have, what brought them to that artistry. Because you guys have your own brewery right on location, don't you?
We do indeed, yeah.
And this is not one of yours, though.
This is one of
ours. It is. Okay, because you asked me if I'd ever been to the Skylark.
Oh, Skylark IPA. That's our latest IPA. And we brewed that in conjunction with a fellow, Bob, who runs a tavern, Skylark.
Ah.
It's old-timey, great tavern at the corner of Halstead and 22nd. And it's my favorite place to drink when I'm not drinking at Moxie.
There you go. Well, now we know we should go to Moxie's first and then go hang out with you.
Absolutely.
At the Skylark.
And we'll all go down and say hello to Bob and drink down there.
And what makes it so old-timey? Is it linoleum floors and...
Oh, it's everything you could imagine. It's very much a Chicago original.
Is it old-timey is a nice way of saying dive?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, Rob is
a lovely dive.
A lovely dive. Those are good ones
very
to go
dark.
To.
Old my, fixtures, but very clean.
My dive is closing, by the
That's
way.
That's good.
Which one?
Fishman's is closing.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah, I did
now,
see that. That's
now you
sad.
Want a microphone, don't you? Yeah, the Fishman's is closing in Jefferson Park. They had a disagreement with the owners for the property.
That's
and how much they're paying in rent. I know.
And they were supposed to be opening a restaurant portion of that, right?
Yeah.
And that didn't come
to fruition?
Yeah.
I don't think so. But you guys have a lovely spot. You are in, you're right off of Maxwell Street or on Maxwell?
We are on Maxwell Street, immediately east of Halstead.
And now, how has it been for, like, do you get a lot of the students coming in when it's parents' weekends, things like that, too?
We are the place that students bring their parents when they're in town, where
right.
our price point may be a little bit high for your
student.
Typical,
mm-hmm.
you know, 20-year-old, 21-year-old, I mean.
Right. Well, no, because the food is great for everybody.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we just had graduation week last week. There were, I think, 4 days. UIC is a big school, so there were 4 days of graduation festivities.
Mm-hmm.
And we were packed pretty much the entire time, and that was very much appreciated. It was nice to be that place for the university.
But it's such a great location for restaurants and taverns and bars in general because the urban revitalization that happened in that neighborhood 10 to 15 years ago is huge.
Yeah,
we would like to think so.
Yeah.
We would like to think so. The neighborhood, you know, was sort of, you know, for better or worse, was reset about 15 years ago. And it's still building its own identity, mm-hmm. building upon the history of the past. And we're hoping to grow with that.
Yeah.
And Rob, when you get the sort of blend of sausages that you have,
yeah.
And how do you recommend that people, you know, because I know that you've given us some pretzels and a various selection. Is there a sampler or do you guys have a?
Yeah, we're doing for Craft Beer Week because mm-hmm. sausage goes with beer. We're doing five different sausages this
mm-hmm.
week. So we're doing the three that you have here, which is the Maxwell Polish, which is a double garlic Polish. We're doing a Charisse, which is a Cajun sausage that
mm-hmm.
not many people know about, but you know, everybody knows about Andouille, and some people know about Boudin, but this is Charisse. And then we're also doing a merguez, which is a Moroccan sausage.
Ooh.
And we're doing a Sheboygan Brat that you have right here.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're doing a sage and chicken sausage that, but each one of these are also going to be served with an accompaniment. So each plate will have not just a pretzel, but will have what pairs well,
right.
you know, so, and then also what pairs with the beer.
Right.
So.
Well, and by the way, I've become addicted to this kind of mustard. The
stone ground.
Oh, my God.
The heavy, grainy mustard.
Is that something that, because I feel like it's always kind of been there in the background, but in the last year or so, it's been on a lot of plates that I get.
Oh, and it should be. Yeah.
It's great.
Yeah.
It's really good. I got super into mustard about 3 years ago, and mm-hmm. yeah, It's ridiculous. Now my kids are like, I'd like the ballpark mustard because I have like 20 different mustards now.
I have to agree.
I've been to the Mustard Museum.
Ooh.
Which is in Wisconsin.
Of course it is. And I know what I'm doing on Sunday. Oh. This is a thing.
Go there. Okay. Go there. Yeah.
Where is, I feel like I've driven past the Mustard Museum. Where, in what city in Wisconsin is it?
Trying to remember.
Googling,
yes. I think I almost ran out of gas near there. More with our friends from Moxie's and our very own Hannah Stanley joins us in studio. And we will be back in just a moment on Pretty Little Patty Vasquez, 720 WGN. You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, and you're hanging out with our friends from Moxie's and Hannah Stanley, who joined us all in the Allstate Showcase studio. I'm a little amped. I've had a dirty chai, which means I had espresso in my chai tea, and I'm now enjoying sausage and beer from Moxie's. They are participating in Craft Beer Week. They've brought us a wonderful collection of sausages, which sounds weird to say out loud. Well, I was watching a baseball game earlier. I'm not going to say which one. But I love that they have sausages run out on the field. But which, by the way, is represented on your tray of sausages with your Sheboygan sausage.
Yeah, yeah, so
what makes it a Sheboygan brat?
Well, you know, I mean, really, it's about the mixture that you're putting in, and then the spice mix that you go from there. So, honestly, it's this particular one is a little bit of a variation because we do both pork, beef, and bacon.
All three. It's pork squared.
Yeah,
plus
pork
beef.
Squared. Yeah, there you go. And then the spice mix and what goes into it. So.
And what can people expect this week with Craft Beer Week? Phil, with two
oh,
L's?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm giving you another L. Phil?
Thanks for the extra L.
You're welcome.
There's so much going on. For us, we are going to be participating in the kickoff event at Garfield Conservatory. It's called Beer Under Glass, and it's a Illinois Craft Brewers Guild sponsored event, and that begins the whole shebang. And there'll be, I think, something in the neighborhood of 75 breweries pouring their great, you know, great concoctions for the crowds, and it's in a beautiful setting. And then somewhere in the excess of 400 participating venues this year, so all over Chicagoland, and so every participating venue will have specials on craft beer. Some will have bigger events. Maybe they'll have special menus like us, or they'll have bands playing. And we're actually on the 20th, on Friday, we actually are doing our big kickoff, which is all our beers are on special. Plus, we'll have 13 Tiki's, one of Chicago's very best surf guitar bands. And so special menu,
I'm sure Brady
special
will
beers. We're working with another Chicago brewery, Five Rabbit. They're going to be kicking in, and we're going to be doing some of their beers as well. And so I think a lot of venues are sort of doing that type of thing. You'll get to meet some brewers from various breweries around, not only in Illinois, but around the country. They'll be coming in at various venues. There'll be all sorts of nice things. And then it sort of works its way all the way up to Wells Park Craft Beer Fest.
Ooh.
And that's on the, help me, the 28th. I think that's a Saturday.
That is.
And and that's a great time, too. And that's all Guild breweries, again, pouring even more beer, different than the stuff they've been pouring all week. And it's a ton of fun. And it's a beautiful neighborhood as well. So
It's kind of a nice span, right from Garfield Park all the way to Wells.
Absolutely.
And everything in between.
Everybody's participating. And it started, you know, this is the 7th annual Chicago Craft Beer Week. And, you know, six, seven years ago, it was a fairly small, lesser known happening. And now it's gotten so much attention, and people are really having a great time with it. And it's a real honor and a pleasure to be involved with it. And I thank the Illinois Craft Brewers Guild for making this all possible.
That's great.
One of the things I love is exactly what you just described about craft breweries in general, but specifically in this area where we're going to go from like Southwest Michigan and then us, Northern Illinois, and then Southern Wisconsin, because it's so cooperative and so, like, it's all about let's get together and do stuff and help each other grow as an industry instead of this big beer mindset where it's very market driven, market share driven. You guys are like, yeah, your beer is great. I want to pour it at my event.
You know
it's
what?
It's so neat.
Hannah, you're exactly right. And that's one of the things that I enjoy most about the craft beer industry, especially here in Chicago. But, you know, there's other states, you know, Indiana and Wisconsin and Michigan that all have very developed, you know, craft beer scenes. But, it's very easy for me to pick up the phone and call, you know, the guy down the street and say, hey, I'm short a few pounds on hops, or I need 50 pounds of malt. And they will always help you out.
There was a story I know from a few breweries in southwestern Michigan, and two of them had named their brews of right then the same name. And instead of freaking out and suing, as people are known to do about other things weirdly, but anyway, they got together and figured out what was best about the two of them and made a co-brand, and then they both brewed the same beer and double marketed it. I was like, this is exactly how the world is supposed to work.
Absolutely. Yes. We had a little bit of a conflict of interest. So we had a beer that was named same as another brewery, and now we're going to, and probably we're still working out the details, but we're hoping to brew together and make a new beer entirely.
Awesome. What I love is that when you go into a bar now, because it used to just be what do you got on tap, and it would, you know, and it's funny because there are so much now, but we come to even recognize what the tap handles look like. Mm-hmm. You know, whether it's from Revolution Road or obviously Goose Island, we can recognize when it's a 312 or the Green Line. It's just fun to go into a bar and go, oh, there it is. That's the one I like, or look for something new.
Absolutely.
It's very festive.
Yeah, it is festive. It's a lot of fun. And, you know, and that's, you know, when craft beer stops being fun, that's when I'll stop working in the industry.
And do you see that coming?
Not anytime soon.
Is it wild to have seen that evolve? Because it really wasn't like this 15 years ago.
No, absolutely not. Well, when Rob and I first got into the restaurant business sometime back, this is going back many years, we tried to do an entirely craft beer lineup at our bar, and people weren't quite ready for it. But, you know, we were not saying that we knew something that other people didn't, but we were really turned on to some really cool things, and we sort of stuck to our guns. And in time, people came around, and I think, you know, I think the proof is in the pudding. I mean, now we have the 7th annual Chicago Craft Beer Week, and everyone's all really jazzed about it. So some of the things that we were trying to do, you know, now are what people are really seeking out.
Right. And I know that at Moxie's, what I love about that environment, too, is it's both family friendly, but it's also a great place to kind of hang out, have a beer, enjoy the kind of food that that Rob's going to bring out. How would you describe the kitchen? I mean, and the kind of food that you guys strive to create for everybody?
Well, it's a pretty simple concept. I mean, essentially, when we first started, we were to pair with the brewery, we just said, if we can make it ourselves, we will.
Right.
So that was the whole idea. So he's making the beer, and we're from scratch, and we're making the food from scratch. So we're making our own sausage, our own bacon, I mean, everything.
And we're smoking all our meats in-house.
Yeah.
You know, so all our sausages, all our pulled meats, our ribs, our chicken, we all do that in-house, yeah. You know, which is very important to us.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask about the sausage, too, because, I mean, that's labor-intensive when you've got all these different blends and then casing it.
It is, and this is the first time that we're really kind of branching out for Craft Beer Week. We always have that Maxwell Polish on, but we've had such a great reception that we're really excited about pairing the beer and the sausage together. So,
so cool.
So it's a sausage fest.
And cheers to that, my friend. Is there a second beer besides the Skylark IPA, or is it both
Skylark? Yeah, we have
May
another
I?
Beer. Yeah, absolutely.
What's the other one? Is that a Kolsch?
This is a Kolsch. This is our
Mommy got it. Can you tell, I can see that we're going to pour that during the break, more after this. Mommy's like, ooh, you got a Kolsch? Make that happen. Just a moment with our friends from Moxie's and Hannah Stanley.
Pretty late with Patty Vasquez. It's Hannah Stanley. I took over. I kicked her out of the studio. I blocked her out.
Not only that, I'm still trying to figure out how you got in our office and why.
It was unlocked. It was actually open.
See, it's the second time on a weekend, Craig. I tell you this happened this weekend. I was telling him that for some reason our door is wide open.
Yeah.
I'm just not sure about the shaming pictures were necessary.
Oh, I wanted to just paint it and make it a bright, happy color. I was not shaming you. I'm sorry if you were angry with me.
Well, I have broken drawers, and we used to have stuff on our desk. It's just... It's kind of like one of those things where nothing's really under control.
Look at the pictures. I'm sorry.
It's all right. It seemed a little strange.
It was not intentional.
I mean, like, can you imagine going into like somebody's room and like taking a picture of their stuff? And,
oh, totally. I do that all the time. That's what I did.
You know. That's what I'm saying. It was very strange.
All right. So for those who are completely...
I mean, I'm all about
myself.
Shaming people. It's how I get my energy.
No. That was not at all what I was trying to do. So I filled in for Frank Fontana, which I love, and he's a designer, uh-huh. and that's his thing. And I dig that kind of stuff,
right.
that energy, that like lets
it would be one
pretty.
Thing if like you took a picture of the before and then did something and had the after.
Well, and I would have loved to, but they told me I had to go. No, so I happened to see that the door was open, and I was like, okay, Patty probably won't mind if I sit on her couch.
No, I don't mind.
Thank you.
It's the pictures.
And so while I was there, I took a picture and thinking, well, yeah, it's true. Frank and I can conspire and maybe pick out a nice color. And then Frank suggested pink with polka dots, which is a little retro and sort of
is you. Conspiring usually something you do in secret? When you decide to do something, you're like...
We were trying to get it sponsored, Patty. This is a thing. maybe a paint company would be like, we'll give you that paint. And no, I don't. So I apologize if I embarrassed you.
It's like when you have guests come over and I don't clean up and Betty yells at me.
Right. Like, I don't invite people into my house.
No, I do all the time, though. I mean, I make this mistake constantly. And then I'm told by my wife that this was...
Not a good idea.
Well, yeah. And then you do start to notice all the stuff that you like left out, like the towel that might be.
Yeah, those drawers on my end don't close all the way. They're all broken.
No, you know what, though? I did absolutely without question. I zoomed in to make sure there was nothing like secretive or questionable or I did.
What's questionable in the
office? I know, exactly.
Well, I don't know. But I was making sure, like, you know, you see these pictures and people are like, if they had only looked in the mirror of, like, the reflection and they were, like, naked taking the picture.
Right.
So I made sure, because I was not naked in your office, but I made sure there was nothing on the desk that was, like, proprietary or I was like, okay, nobody's going to get angry with me for this. And then I was like, oh, but I embarrassed Patty.
Oh, it's the actual picture.
Sorry.
I'm just going to go out of the picture. It's weird, though, isn't it, Craig?
That's why I haven't been on in, like, 3 weeks or something.
Yeah, we rarely ever take any pictures of that.
Yeah, we don't take a lot of pictures of our... Well, you know, we're clean people for the most part. Just every so often, something can get away from you a little bit.
Well, because we also don't have, like, any...
We have nothing, yeah.
Well, also...
I'm looking for the picture now.
We have nothing to do dishes down here.
Right. So I usually keep those in the cupboards, right. Well, we also don't have water down here anymore.
We do not have any kind of water.
So I often have, like, different vessels for keeping water, like a big coffee mug or a couple things that I leave on the desk sometimes. So it was just weird to see a picture of my office from inside.
I'm sorry. Well, at some point, leave it open and I'll come paint it.
The bigger learning thing from all this is that our office is open every so often.
Yeah, because I found it open on Saturday again. Yeah.
Okay, I'm looking at the picture and I'm really, people don't know that that's not my junk. There's like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 vessels for fluid. And that makes sense because there's no water here. And those drawers don't look broken. They just look like they're opened and askew.
Exactly.
Like I was rifling. But I wasn't.
You should get a lock.
Very sorry.
We do have a lock on our door.
I was like just trying. I was trying to demonstrate that it was a rather drab color, which is nothing, no reflection on you.
Very much like everybody else's offices.
Right. Which is why we should give it a little zing.
And we also don't have a window to our office, which was my preference because I sleep in there often when I'm staying here all night and trying to go to Springfield. I'll sleep in the office and then do Steve Cochran's show and then catch an Amtrak. So I actually like that it's very dark in our office. But I mean, obviously the lighting is, it gets so dark in there. It's like being in a cave. I sometimes wake up completely disoriented.
Yeah.
I'm like, where am I? So, I'm so glad I don't like sleepwalk in my own office. That would be horrifying. I would be so terrified.
Sleeping in there is the best. The only problem is that no one turns down like the radio. I have a lot of dreams about Nick DiGilio and a lot of other stuff like that whenever I have to sleep there for a few hours. Yep.
Yeah, I do. I fall asleep to Nick D. It's very strange. And he's very passionate about the things he talks about. Mostly that he does not like Ferris Bueller in his day off. In my dreams, also in reality. He really hates that movie, Hannah. Did you know that?
Yep.
He hates it very much.
You don't have to know him for very long to learn that.
You know who liked my picture the other day on Facebook? One of my pictures? I can't remember which one it was. Oh, it was a picture over a sunset over Wicker Park.
Oh, yeah, that was a good picture.
Alan Ruck liked it.
Really?
Yeah. It was very exciting.
Are you friends with Alan Ruck?
I am friends with Alan Ruck.
Why aren't we all friends with Alan Ruck?
I've invited him on the show, and he was so funny because he said, well, my wife is off shooting something for Shonda Rhimes.
Sure.
And his wife is the lead on The Catch, That's his wife. Okay. Oh, it's a good show.
Okay.
I think. Do you watch Scandal?
Nope.
You know? Do you watch? Is
nope.
There's no TV shows that you like?
There are.
Which ones do you like?
Blacklist.
That's a good show. Mm-hmm. They have a great their first episode is one of the great pilots, I think. with the helicopter landing on the street.
I did not want to be involved with another show at the time. What, 3 seasons ago? I was a little busy, and I was like, no. I had the headphones on. I was editing audio on my laptop, and my husband had it on, and I was like, I mean, I'm not kidding. 7 minutes in, headphones off. I'm like, fine. I'm in.
Another show.
And now I basically have just that left.
It's just the one. What were you saying, Esmeralda?
Ellen Ruck is married to a hottie.
Yeah, she's beautiful.
It's the lady from that awful show, The Killing.
Yeah, well, the show. Well, it was a great show.
They meant well.
But it was dark. It was very, very
dark.
They
meant well. But
She was also on Big Love. She was very good on Big Love.
That was HBO, right?
It was.
Yeah.
It was really, that show was icky because it reminded me of my childhood.
That show made me uncomfortable.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I was raised in the Mormon church. Big Love was basically about a sect of the Mormon church that breaks off and tries to follow the path of, you know, polygamy and stuff like that. But a lot of the language and the texture of it was very much like the teachings and the atmosphere that I was raised in.
I was going with this whole sister wives thing in your childhood, and I was like, I don't know this side of you.
Yes, well. I was very lucky.
Would your mom say that Alan Ruck is over his skis with this spouse that he has? Because she is quite, as Esmeralda said.
She's a hottie.
Yeah, over his skis.
Hottie. Yeah, right? out of balance, out of whack with Steve Cochran was the first person.
His coverage.
Yeah.
Oh, like when you're skiing and if,
you're over
is
your
skis. Is that not good?
Right. Okay. I can't. I'm not going to keep my balance.
Yeah.
I see.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I just am curious if she would if she would go that way. Because Alan Ruck. Is he an attractive?
He's adorable.
Man? Okay.
He's attractive. He's,
there's a great. Have you seen that picture in the Onion? That article about the parents come to terms with their daughter marrying somebody who isn't as equally attractive.
That's awesome.
That's a great picture. It's one of those things you never have to click on the article of the Onion. You just see the headline of it and just be happy for
the
day.
It's the genius of the Onion.
Yeah, it's very good. What were we talking about?
We have a couple of things to talk about. I'm doing stand up, which you and I talked about a long time ago, and now it's actually the
gonna
time
happen.
Again is nigh. Yeah, that's on Friday. So we can chat about that for a second. And then I'm rappelling down a building. On Saturday?
I was thinking about doing that. I just saw that come up. I need to raise $500 by Friday in order to do that. My husband
on
says...
On Sunday.
For Sunday, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you... Why are you
I'm
doing it?
I'm doing it Saturday.
Why are you doing it on Saturday?
It's a media thing. They asked me to do it, and actually to help promote the fact that they have a very few limited number of slots open for Sunday.
Right.
If you want to rappel, it's for Respiratory Health Association, which I believe it's lungchicago.org is the website. And it is, we can almost see the building from here. It's the Witt Hotel, 27 stories, right at the corner of Lake and State.
Right.
Yep. And I'm going over the edge. And hopefully,
have you rappelled?
Slowly.
Have you ever?
You know what? I've rappelled down after climbing up.
Right.
That seems
like rock climbing?
Super attainable.
Mm-hmm.
Like indoor rock climbing.
Sure.
Yeah. I'm like, oh, look, I'm up.
It's like all walking right, down. Well, you just walk down backwards, down. Like Batman.
Yeah. I'm super fine with that portion of it. I don't know about the sitting your butt off the edge portion of it.
That's super cool.
All right, I'll go with that.
I've done 3 stories. Is the highest I've done.
3. Yeah, this is 27.
27.
Yeah, a little bit different.
I think Andrew Darlis has done it as well.
Ginger Z did it last year, this exact rappel. She did it live on Good Morning America. And I'm like, I mean, Ginger's a great girl. I like her. I'm rooting for her on Dancing with the Stars. And if she can do it, I can do it.
Absolutely.
Come on,
you're
Ginger.
You're rooting tooting.
Yeah. So that's a thing. And then changing American diet, I think it was a topic we were going to discuss.
How
Shall we do
how,
that next?
Yeah, let's do that.
Okay.
Did she just sort of to a break for me?
I did.
I'm not going to do it now. I'm just going to make this
You're
your segment.
You're so angry with me. I'm so sorry.
I'm not angry.
No, it's fine. It's
Patty
just, you know.
And I have to go to break / therapy.
Well, I don't think we're going to the break quite yet. Patty, you know,
Patty
the changing
wants
diet
to.
Is the changing
I don't,
diet
actually.
Is an interesting
yeah.
kind of thing. I guess that we're all getting healthier as Americans, apparently. That's something
as I eat my
about.
Sausage and drink my beer.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so I didn't know that you had gone gluten-free.
I did not go gluten free. I was told by a guy with, you know, like a doctorate
doctor?
And all that stuff to do it. Yeah.
Like an actual doctor?
Yeah, like a doctor who gave me tests.
Okay, because of an allergy or because
it's called celiac disease. I don't know if you know, but
yeah,
did you know Steve King has that? Did you know that Steve King?
I am
every
rip.
Time he mentions it, he
By
gets
the way,
a text or a phone
they,
call.
They are so lovely. They'll be on with us next week. Steve and
I
Johnny.
Panicked. I panicked hard on Craig. I was like, oh!
No,
I mean,
okay.
like that's why I was in caps greatest. And exclamation point.
They're the
I was
greatest
like,
people.
They are. That's I why know. I was terrified that they've, I'd forgotten.
They've been sending me so many recipes. It is amazing.
Oh, can you forward those? Because awesome. I have in fact gone gluten-free, but more because of the wheat.
Ah.
So I say gluten-free, but it's wheat. I have a wheat allergy.
Got it.
So, but it's...
Isn't that what I have? Do I have something beyond wheat? I
thought... Yeah, you have... If you have celiac, you have gluten issues.
What is gluten?
Well, gluten's also
wheat?
Potatoes and a lot of other
gluten
starches.
Gluten is a protein that can... that it,
it's
yes.
potatoes? I have not gone gluten-free.
Well, it can be.
It
okay.
can be.
It can be.
There are a lot of things I'm doing wrong about this whole diet so far.
Okay, so here's... it's it hides a lot of different places because they use a lot of starches to mm-hmm. keep things in different... See, now I'm food nerding for you.
No, please.
Sorry.
No, please.
But like
stuff.
Shredded cheese, you're better off shredding your own cheese because shredded cheese, pre-shredded cheese, has potato starch within it. And that's how it keeps it separated. Because, you know, if you shred your own cheese, it gets... kind of recoagulates, right?
It reclumps.
Yeah. So they use potato starch. So you have to just be really, really careful with different types and different brands because you don't know what they've snuck flour into. Like Italian beef, stuff like that, they're going to thicken that gravy with flour.
It's yep.
Oh, Craig.
It says, I had a few sips of the lovely beer that was brought in. It was delicious.
And how do you feel now?
I ate a piece of the pretzel.
You have been losing weight, by the way.
Have I?
Yeah.
But
really?
If you have, if it's a
yeah.
wheat
you
beer
on your face.
I don't think I'm losing weight, though. I think I was just bloated. I know we have that commercial about you're not fat, you're bloated.
Just bloated.
You're
I
just
think
bloated.
That's what I was for the past 5 years.
Maybe.
Right.
Did you? Are you also taking a probiotic?
I am not. Not no. yet. I was told to take one of those.
Wendy's yep. got something for you.
Oh, yeah. Does she?
That, yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Well,
she and Bill, their intestines are
both...
super happy. They have dancing intestines.
I've actually done that too.
Mm-hmm.
The
I would
Nature
love it.
90 Day.
Dancing
there you go.
Intestine.
Nature 90 Day.
That sounds really nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, cool.
All right,
my
then.
Intestines are not dancing at the moment.
Oh.
But
good.
You'll...
Is that maybe it's a good thing?
Once you get healthier, once your gut becomes healthier,
yeah, okay.
you'll notice that things will flare it, and then you'll become far more. More conscientious about what's in certain things. Right mm-hmm. now, you're still working off of it, and you're. But like a wheat beer, you need to walk away.
Yeah, I'm aware. I had.
He said no to the Kirsch, by the way.
I had gluten-free chicken nuggets today.
Ooh, how was that?
Oh, they were so good.
Really?
I got them at the Whole Foods. I don't
nice.
Know. It's like some sort of corn breading or something. Everything is corn now. Patty
it's
said this to me before.
Corn or rice flour.
You have a listener calling to tell you that Steve King has celiac disease. More after this on 720 WGN. You are listening pretty late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase studio, joined by our very own Hannah Stanley. And we have Pat on the line who wants to assure Craig that I am wrong. And I think that's a good thing. I always like to be wrong. Hi, Pat. What do you want to tell Craig?
Hi. I've been a celiac for over 20 years, and it's kind of hard to figure out what to eat. But I'm certainly at that point after all these years.
Yeah, you've got it down.
And the four things you absolutely have to avoid
okay.
are rye, wheat, uh-huh. barley,
and
oats.
Stuff.
Okay.
Oats.
Potato starch is no problem. It's okay.
Good.
Okay.
There you go.
Right. I know.
Corn starch is no problem.
Okay.
It's very hard to eat out because
yeah.
they cross-contaminate.
Mm-hmm.
Not even just that, like everything is breaded or there's
well,
something.
When yeah, Patty was talking yeah. about the potatoes, that's what I was talking about, because there's so many times that they're like, oh, you know, throw some breading or some dressing or whatever. And then even salad dressings will have gluten in it sometimes because they use
sour
it as a thickener.
Sour cream is the worst.
Why Laden. Sour cream?
Laden.
Because it has wheat in it.
Sour cream has wheat in it?
I love sour cream. I will eat it for you.
Almost everything Campbell's and Stouffer's makes has cream in it. It's a binder.
Yep.
Oh.
Patty, I just want to say real quick that when you eat gluten stuff for me, it doesn't make me feel better.
Oh. That doesn't make me... I'll stop eating it for you. How's
no,
that?
Don't do that because I don't want you to have to live this life.
It's a lot of so many things.
When I eat gluten, I have terrible explosive diarrhea.
There you
well,
go.
There's a thing.
There you go, Craig.
Yeah, that's no fun. I'm
so
sorry.
So that's
for
a
that.
Warning to you, Craig. And I think that's a
it
good
is a warning I did not need.
But and not unexpected though.
Yeah,
it's honesty.
It's one that I you
it's
know.
Not
was
an
aware
allergy.
Of.
It's not an allergy.
Yeah.
The cilia in your digestive tract do not digest all those things.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they slide right through your digestive tract. Also, you tend to be deficient in vitamin B as in baby, because that's in all those foods.
Right.
Yeah, because you can't absorb them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so and it's hard to hold on to nutrients. That's not healthy for you. Well, yeah. Craig, this is good information from Pat. Thank you so much for sharing that, Pat. And we will have
Steve. You're so welcome. I know what it's like to be without all that.
I know.
When I was first diagnosed and I looked online to see what was, mm-hmm. you know, all of that, I put my head down on the desk and cried because I thought I'll never eat again.
Oh, man.
And now I'm fat. Because I've learned how to eat.
Well, you know what you need to do is a little bit of angry ballet. Go find a bar method or a pure bar studio. It's such a mean workout, but it'll get the job done. And Pat's like, no, I'm not having any of that. Thanks, Pat. Have a great night.
You too. Bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's my new thing is angry ballet. I'm still doing CrossFit, but I've decided to do a little bit. I was getting really bulky because like doing the like back squats, front squats, all the box jumps and stuff. My quads were getting. I'm strong, but you know, I don't want to be that strong. I mean, I do.
You want to be delicate and strong?
No, I don't want to buy new jeans right now.
Like my toned.
I want to be toned, and the angry ballet is exactly that.
Drew Barrymore said something about one of those. I think it was like bar method.
That's what I do, yeah.
And what she said was it makes your butt fall off.
Butt fall off, yeah. Yeah. I can bounce a quarter off mine now. It's quite fun.
All right. We're going to try that during the break.
All right, then. All right. Get that quarter. No, I really do. I think the bar method is a lot of fun. I mean, it's not really dancing. It's the sort of training toward being a stronger dancer. We'll be right back after this on 720 WGN. I mean, I still can't believe, Craig, that I saw Kamau Bell's very first appearance ever.
His very first stuff better than he did of his first set, it seemed like.
I know. And I love that I married somebody who actually has the same sensibility when it comes to, if I tell you that something hurts me, why are you questioning that? Why is it so surprising to you? So was a very similar comparison that Kamau had to Steve's.
I know we just played the intro to that whole bit, but it was such a powerful first few minutes with you guys talking about that and talking about how, and I know you've talked about this on the show before, you can't really project your feelings onto someone else. They get to feel whatever way they want, and you can't decide that that's not true.
Right. Well, and I think this happened a little bit earlier too with Bill and Wendy. We're talking about, we mentioned this with Representative Martwick, that a woman was sentenced to 4 years in jail after she was convicted of murdering her adult daughter who had cerebral palsy. And so I was kind of I got very wound up even when we were doing our production meeting today, Craig. I got a little yelly. Even though there was nobody to yell at, I got very angry for the people who judge a parent. And yeah, I mean, it's a horrible story. It's a horrible thing that she did. But what's as horrible is what drove her to do that. But when people hear a story like that, they get very angry and she has to be punished. And I just, you know, again, it's like you don't know what it's like. I don't know what it was like to be that mother who did that. But when someone says, I'm in pain, and your reaction is, well, tough, it's not really that bad for you. Or why don't you just save some money and your child will be taken care of? Like everyone sort of projects what I would do, what they would do, how they would handle it.
Right. Without even being fully in the situation. And like you said, Bill and Wendy talked about this. They had a few interesting callers. One of them that actually Kevin Richter, their producer, sent over to us. It was kind of a nicer call from Nora, who has a special needs child as well. She's a special needs mom. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you want to hear a little
bit
please. Of
that.
Okay, cool.
We'll hear that one.
Nora. Hi, how are you?
We're good.
I'm good. I have a son who has special needs autism, and he's home with me. He's 23. And it's not as simple as it sounds financially and everything else because, you know, you're talking like what Steve said to put aside money for college. Well, we had to go through college. We can, you know, four years is.
He's not your only son, is he? He's not your only child.
Right. I have two other sons. He's right in the middle. So it's, you know, it's just not so simple. We moved here from Missouri and moved back because we've been gone for 24 years. But, you know, we just thought it's time for some extra help. Our oldest son moved to, he lives in Bridgeport now. So, you know, we knew he'd be around and all our extended family, but there was nothing much in Missouri. He was in a daycare program only. And then here, in fact, you probably hear him in the background. He's right next to me and he's always with me because there's nothing, you know, unless we pay 20 some thousand a year, there's really nothing much out there for him.
No program or anything?
No, I mean, there are programs, and we started them in one, but it was costing, like, it was just, we couldn't continue it. It's just too, you know, and on top of the fact that I can't work, you know, because...
Well, because you need to take care of him.
Right, and he's a huge handful. I'll have to, you'd love him, but he's a big handful, so...
Nora, I know this may sound like an insensitive question, but since it's the topic, have you and your husband discussed... the future, when the two of you aren't able to be around to care for him, what the next plan is?
Yes, we have, and there he is talking. We have a will with our oldest son as we waited. Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
That's fine.
With our oldest son is the guardian, legal guardian. But, you know, it's, and I feel like, and luckily I'm from a very large family, and we have a lot of backup, but unless you've lived with them, you don't really get it.
Yeah.
And that's why we figured as soon as he turned 21, he's the guardian if something happens to, or when something happens to us. And, you know, it would surprise me if he didn't, and he'll outlive us. He's very healthy. And, you know, it's just that he's just, like I said, he's a handful, and it's sometimes, I don't know, it's just hard to say, do this, do that, when there's so much, there's so many other things coming in the way. And, you know, you picture this cute little Down syndrome guy or autism high on the spectrum, but my son is very, very much middle to lower end of the spectrum as far as behavior goes. And it's just, it's not as simple as anybody could ever make it sound. And, you know, it's funny because I was thinking I wanted to write a letter to somebody about this because we in Missouri, there was where we lived, there was a dad that killed his son with special needs and himself. And, you know, I know I would never, ever resort to that. But
you can understand that, can't you?
Yes, exactly. Yes. So
it's just,
I don't know. I just wanted to chime in. You know,
I'm
I wish
glad
it was
you did. Nora, do you ever get a chance to just get out? I mean, you can't leave your son home alone. So you're with him. Are there times that are there places that he can go where you and your husband or your family members can go out and not worry for a night?
For dinner, he loves food, so we always can take him, or generally, depend nothing. We could never go anywhere where he has to be quiet because he's very loud. But, we get to do that. And then luckily with my family nearby, I have a niece that can watch him here and there. And my son, my oldest son, who's, like I said, he lives in Bridgeport, he comes and watches them once in a while for us too. So it's not as much, you know, it's just not simple. Like my husband travels a lot and it's hard to take him to the grocery store. So, you know, so I have to wait till my husband's home so I can, you know, do all my shopping and all that stuff. So
does insurance cover any of this? Do you not have insurance? Am I an
idiot
for thinking that?
No, not once they're out of school, it's just a whole different ballgame. And I don't know all the ins and outs in Illinois yet since we're fairly new to Illinois. But
out of school for a functioning person is a different story than for someone who is not functioning on their own. Who cares if they're out of school?
I agree with you. I often thought that, well, if he can't do any, you know, if he can't do anything on his own, he's here with me and he's not able to, you know, because a lot of times you'll see people at Jewel, you know, working, and he's not able to hold a job in any way. His behaviors definitely get in the way. So, it's like I said, I don't mean to be a complainer, but
no,
you are not.
It's not reading as that at all. Just the opposite. It really.
I mean, Bill and I are amazed that, you know, you do this every day, day in and day out, and you're his mom. Does he give good hugs at least?
Sometimes. he's not much, because of the autism, not much of a hugger, but he's funny. The thing, I mean, we always said he's got the best sense of humor of our three children. So he can, you know, he's definitely got a good personality. You just wish it could be easier for people.
Sure, of course.
As far as once they're out of school, that's it. My job, once I couldn't work anymore, once he was done with school because we couldn't find the right placement for him, and, you know, and even so, the hours for the adult care is generally 9 until 3 or 8:30 till 2:30, so it's not real, you know, as far as a full-time job, it's not so easy to get. So, yeah.
But, well, thank you.
Nora,
we
thank
wish you the best.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks a lot.
All right.
And have a, I enjoy listening to you.
Thank you, Nora.
Thank you. There's a special place in heaven for you, really. You're doing a great job.
Thank you.
By the way, I love that laugh that Nora had. This is Patty again. That was Bill and Wendy's show earlier today. They were having a conversation about the recent sentencing of a mother in Schaumburg who took the life of her adult daughter who was suffering from cerebral palsy. She was worried. The mother was worried about her own health and, you know, had a mental break. Had made this plan to kill her daughter, kill herself. And this happens more often than any of us cares to imagine, all over the country. And Nora called to talk about both her experience as a mother of a child who is an adult with autism. And she mentioned in that conversation that where she was from in Missouri, there was a dad who took his life and his son's life. We've heard this story right here in the Chicagoland area. We talked about this with Stephen Boise from PACT, that there was a dad who took the entire family's lives, all of them, the two adult children with special needs, his wife and his own life. And I wanted to hear somebody else who, by the way, Nora sounds like somebody I hope I am when I grow up someday, because Declan is 10 years old and I'll see him stop at a fence and like start playing and rocking back and forth. And, you know, neighbors will look over and think he's being a little strange, but they smile because he's 10 and he's adorable. But when he's Nora's son's age, when he's 23, they're going to think he's weird and like standing at their fence, and they're going to want to know why, because Declan's a big kid now. I can't imagine how big he'll be when he's 23. She mentioned there too that she can't take him any place where they have to be quiet. And we are fortunate enough. I want to mention this because I talked one time about a church that I took Declan to, and he loves running up toward the piano, and I'll let him get a little bit of ways, like, because he's kind of dancing, he wants to go toward the music, and I'll let him go down the aisle a little bit, but then I kind of guide him back to the rear of the church, and this guy grabbed me one day and said, "You need a leash for that kid, right?" And I said, "Well, you need a muzzle before you talk to the mother of a child with special needs." I want to go back to that because it's the same church we go to now. That was one parishioner who was cranky or grouchy or having a bad day and said that to me. I had a hard time going back for a long time, but Steve, my husband, does take the boys there. And I want to thank all the parishioners at St. Tarsus Church who see my family and are so cool. The priest always stops and talks to my family, and that's the church that we go to. They're very welcoming. They're very cool, and it's a beautiful place to go and celebrate our community and to worship. So that was something that I latch onto with Nora's conversation. We can't really go to places that are, you know, we have to be quiet because Declan wants to make noise. He wants to dance. He doesn't speak. He doesn't talk. So he makes a lot of like grunting noises and screaming noises. He's working on it. He's working on making noises. But I think that what's hard to imagine, and Wendy there said, there's a special place for you in heaven. And Nora laughed, I think, because we've heard that so many times. When you have a child with special needs, people say things like, God only gives special needs children to special people. And that's a sweet thing, and it's a great sentiment. And we, you know, we go through our lives and we try our best. I think what I can't really explain to people is that you're never really allowed to mourn the fact that your life didn't turn out the way you'd hoped, that this beautiful child that you are expecting is never going to live independently. And it's traumatic. And there have been studies that have found that mothers with children with disabilities have as much PTSD as someone returning from war. But we're not supposed to. We're supposed to, you know, be in it. We're supposed to take care of our kids, and we're, you know, ready for anything and do our best. And I will be very honest with you. I've never considered hurting my son. I've never considered hurting myself. But in the first year of Declan's life, there were nights when I would lay in the dark wondering what this was going to be like, wondering if I could do this, and wondering whether or not I could just disappear. And it didn't mean that I wanted to hurt myself. It didn't mean I wanted to run away. I just didn't want to be. I didn't want to be this mom who would probably never hear her child say mommy or ever see him walk, because at the time they told me he was never going to walk. So when I hear about people being angry at this mom in Schaumburg, I have to tell you, you don't know how hard it is, how scary and terrifying it is. And it's very easy for me to understand how someone can lose hope, how they can be so despondent and unable to latch on to reality. So before you judge, just consider that people in your community are raising children with disabilities. They need just your understanding, just some compassion, and sometimes just a smile.
If
You are listening Pretty Late. I'm your host, Patty Vasquez, live in the Allstate Showcase Studio. And I want to thank a lot of our texters and callers who wanted to let us know their thoughts on our conversation about raising a child with a disability. We have Chris on the line who's been holding on for quite a bit. Thank you so much for holding on, Chris. How are you doing?
Patty, please take a deep breath and sit down, for God's sake.
Are you watching me on the live stream?
You make it sound creepy when you say it that way.
All right, hold on a second. One second. All right, go ahead. Honestly.
There you go. I needed a break after that last one. That it kind of made me tear up a little myself.
Oh, thank you.
I had a nephew who was born with muscular dystrophy and had challenges. And we never said special because that kind of separated him.
Right.
We just said he had different needs.
Right.
It wasn't special to be like, oh, look, he's special. No, he's different. He's like everybody else. He's just different. He needs different attention to his needs.
Right. I often say differently abled. Unfortunately,
there you go.
Yeah, the thing that people recognize the most, or, you know, if I say differently abled, they think I'm being cute about it. Yeah, I agree. I agree completely, Chris. Go ahead.
You know, some people think that you play off that word because it's like, oh, well, whatever makes you feel better. No, it's. You know, because, you know, you thank God for what you have, that your children are healthy. But don't look and go, oh, this is so special. No, just it's different.
Right.
It's different. And it takes a stronger person to be a mother, to be a father to a special needs child. I was an uncle before he passed. But, to walk in the room and he could just hear your voice and smile, that was great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Chris. I appreciate your
call.
Thanks, Patty. Have a great night. I've sat down, by the way, and also am breathing. Hey, Punkin, how you doing?
Pretty good, Punkin.
Thank you.
reverse psychology there.
There you go.
Hey, listen, I just wonder where this judge got his credentials. You know, it's common knowledge, anybody that deals with a person with dementia or, Alzheimer's, if you will, PTSD, stress, you know, whatever, is commonplace for the person that's the caregiver.
Yeah.
And it's a fact that the person with the problem, if you will, definitely outlives the caretaker,
right?
90% of the time.
Right.
That's amazing.
I know. Right. I had, deep down, I had knowledge of something I felt, and I never said it out loud. And then I was at a luncheon preparing for an event for Special Olympics, and I was with four other moms. Each one of us had children of different abilities. And one of the moms said, "All I know is I can't die first." And it was something I had never articulated. I had never said it out loud. But all of us just started nodding because I know, you know, some of the callers earlier today to Bill and Wendy's show were like, you know, save money, put money away. The problem is, you know, when you say you're going to put your child in the care of somebody else, it's hard to imagine. And believe me, I know there are so many people who do a great job of caring for individuals with disabilities, you know, of all ages. But they're not going to love him the way we do. They won't have the collection of experiences that we have and the kind of care that we have given him, the kind of familiarity he has grown. You know, it takes somebody learning every single time that they come into contact with him of what his nuances are, what the idiosyncrasies are. And, caregivers come and go so quickly. I mean, we've been through, honest to God, Joe, probably about 30 different therapists and babysitters, respite care. I mean, like, so every single time in 10 years, you know, whether it's because someone moved or honestly, one woman, one of the best people we had. Have you ever heard of this series? Channing Tatum just did an interview with a girl named Carly. She didn't start being able to communicate till she was 12 years old. One of the therapists we had actually worked with her in ABA therapy, and her green card expired, and we weren't able to have her work with Declan anymore. So it's just in the inconsistencies during our 10 years with him. I can't imagine when we're gone how horrible and scary. I mean, it could be great, but you know, it's hard to imagine that it will be the same.
Amen to that. And listen, hey, I don't do this lightly. I'm going to pay you a gigantic comment here. I classify you as the Omnibudsman of the year, okay, as far as diverse topics that you entertain on your program, okay? And to a large extent, now, there's a but here, to a large extent, you provide a very impartial viewpoint.
Oh,
that's to your credit.
Joe, okay? Thank you.
So you're scintillating, you're interesting, keep it up, and hey, God love you for a living with what you have, kiddo.
Joe, I want to thank you for always being there to you know, add to the conversation, to make sure that another voice is heard, that maybe other people are like just angry or frustrated with something and they don't mm-hmm. chime in. People who just text in and it's a one-way conversation. Joe, you're always prepared to start something up, whether it's on my side or somebody else's side, and I like that.
Keep it up, kiddo.
You too, Joe. Have a good night.
Adios.
Talk to you later. I called him Joe. Yeah, thank you, Joe. That was nice. Very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
I should give him Joe something.
Well, and you're getting a lot of text messages, too, from people saying, thank you so much for sharing that. What a great show. What a powerful message. A lot of people are chiming in to say. And, as you said, a lot of us don't understand. We can't put ourselves in your shoes from the 847. We should always walk in someone else's shoes, but we really shouldn't criticize people. We should always try to walk in someone else's shoes, but we shouldn't criticize people. So, there's a lot to it to try to understand, but I don't know.
It's and the rage that you feel, like, we all have things in our lives that have happened that we don't even know until it's triggered that sets us off on something. I know that I can have a short fuse, and I don't think it's just attributable to being, the struggles of trying to wrap my mind around helping out my son, who, again, Declan, for those of you who are new to the show, maybe, just turn the radio on and are wondering about Declan, he has a disorder called hypoplasia of the corpus callosum, which means that part of his brain never formed in utero. They don't know why. There may have been a cyst blocking it. I may have gotten a virus that crossed the placenta. It happens in the first trimester. Everything that your brain is and ever will be happens in the first trimester. So the foundation of your entire neurological system happens then. So if it doesn't appear then, if it does not progress, it affects you globally. So it affected his lung formation. It affected a lot of his organs. Actually, it also affected, apparently, his muscle development. Declan has severe scoliosis. He has hypotonia, which means that his muscles are a little bit weaker. He's never been able to fully get, the kind of muscle control. And it's hampered by the fact that his brain can't quite communicate what to do next. It always cracks me up when I go to put his socks on and he'll give me his hand. And there's this great story. People always tell me when they're familiar with the corpus callosum, they always ask if I've heard the story about this this man who had an injury to his corpus callosum. His wife takes him to the to see the doctor, seeing the specialist. And the doctor, the guy is talking pretty well and he seems high functioning. And the doctor asks, well, what are some of the symptoms? And she said, well, when he wants to put on his hat, she'll watch this. And she says, honey, put your hat on. And he puts his hand on her head because he knows that the hat's supposed to go on his head, but he can't make his muscles really respond to the thoughts that he's having. There's a disconnect there. And for Declan, because the thinning fibers are in the frontal lobe, we don't know actually his quality of comprehending language, of where he'll actually be able to progress, because your brain is always learning. And we hope that someday he'll find a pathway to communicate, to express himself. But he does not speak. He has, again, a lot of physical struggles, a lot of physical struggles. He was not able to walk until he was almost 3 years old, which was so exciting. There's nothing like watching a child who has a walker, right? Declan was, a toddler with a walker, and which was, so strange to me, this world of, okay, we got to the walker part, because he didn't crawl till he was like a year and a half, didn't pull himself to standing till he was about 18, 19, 20 months old. And I was so excited. And still, even then, we were never quite sure he would ever be able to take a step by himself. And so he had a walker, and it was just the sweetest thing. The day we were able to sort of like pull the walker away from him and watch him take a step without it. And he, like, to have him walk toward the walker and, give him the walker back. Because, he's a 3-year-old trying to get his confidence, and pull the walker away from him a little bit more and have him walk to it. And then, take a couple more steps. And this kid loves to walk. He is a walker. He gets excited when he's got like an open field. He starts giggling and he starts running in the grass. And it's the greatest thing for me, because here's a child who told me he might never walk. And I will walk with him whenever I have the opportunity to just keep going, whether it's along the beach or on a hiking path. Man, and he loves to go toward water. That's the scariest thing for me. So that's my Declan, my 10-year-old Declan, who I cherish. I hope to never come to the path of fear that this mother in Schaumburg experienced. I have been on that path of desperation, of, you know, trying to find my way back to the light. But again, this woman who was sentenced to 4 years in jail, I can't even imagine. She's just, I wish that there was a way to explain to people who want someone to suffer when they've taken the life of their child in this manner. Again, it happens all over the country. I'm sure it happens all over the world. I hear stories about this all the time. It's why I started a company called With Kind Words, in part to help medical professionals hear the warning signs of people who are in danger of hurting themselves and hurting their loved ones who have a disability. I think there are warning signs. I don't know all of them, but if you have someone in your life who has this struggle, you know, because they, and by the way, they in public, they may come across as being completely in control and everything is fine and I've got this, I've totally got this, I've got everything handled. But I think there are moments if they say things, especially if they ever worry about whether or not it was their fault, if they latch onto, this is the one thing I can tell you, if you come across somebody who is really consumed by guilt that whatever their child has was their fault, whether it's the mother or the father, if they're convinced that it was their responsibility, just, you know, listen to them and don't downplay that or brush it aside, but listen to them and listen to those words and try to find a way in that. And it's so hard not to set, like, to be dismissed. Oh no, I'm sure it wasn't your fault, or, you know, it happens all the time. But listen to them, because they're not asking for your absolution. They're asking for their own. They're trying to find a way out of that guilt. So that's one thing that I think is a warning sign. Hey, Steve, how are you doing? Steve?
Yeah. Oh,
hi.
I didn't hear it, Patty.
Yeah.
Yeah. My wife worked in mental health for 25 years. And I would take a lot of her different residents out on my own time, whether it be DD or cerebral palsy or, but I mean, a lot of them are higher functioning than people think.
Right.
And I want to share this with you. One particular night, Ronnie Taylor, because that was his name.
Uh-huh. Well done, Steve. I like that. Uh-huh.
I took him down to the little bar he liked to go to, and we had three beers, and we're walking back, and he goes, "How much do you spend in there?" I said, "Well, $7.50." He goes, "I didn't spend a dime. Now who's crazy?"
I like it, Steve. I know. It's those little moments where you see a glimpse of brilliance, too, or maybe always brilliance, as long as we're paying attention, right?
Yeah. Never mind. God bless all of us.
No, I know what you were going to say. You were going to say it's all a moment of perspective, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yep. It's a kind of thing you could miss, and we should be paying attention.
Yeah, and I'm sure you're used to it. Yeah, you got to see a glimpse of that every day.
I do. I know. Declan cracks me up all the time with the way he sees the world. Thank you so much, Steve.
All right, thanks.
Appreciate it. And by the way, I don't know if I can finish that thought that I was commenting on parents who feel responsible for causing their child's disability. I really, again, it's a gnawing at your soul that never really goes away. I have put it away, but I had it for a long time, especially in the first year. And, you know, I would go over it in my mind. Like, did I have the boys too close to each other? Did I work too much? Did I not eat the right food? I came down to like thinking, what if I shook hands with somebody? And, you know, what if, because I was doing stand-up comedy clubs, what if I exposed myself to germs that then, you know, became an infection or something? I mean, like, I would go through every different scenario. Maybe I once picked up something that was too heavy, or, you know, all these different things. And, there's one thing that I remember, and I always tell Nurse Sarah, she always cracks up because she's like, "Would you stop thanking me?" One of the nurses in the special care nursery at Resurrection Hospital, it was Nurse Sarah, she goes, "Fine." She goes, "All right, you know, go through all the different scenarios, but let me tell you one thing. Regret is a wasted emotion. There's nothing to be earned from it." She's like, it's not about what happened. It's about what you're going to do. And that's something I go back to whenever I start to sink into that sort of pit of wondering. Once in a while, it pops back up. And I don't know if it ever will go away completely. But as long as I acknowledge it and know that it's there and deal with it and then assume responsibility for the things I'm going to do, I think that's where I can find some strength. So just a little bit of that. All right. Who are we calling, by the way? Do we know who we're calling tonight? We called Cochran last night.
Yeah, I thought we were going to call John.
Did we call John Cass tonight? I'm not sure if I feel like Cranky Cass.
Yeah, now tonight is Cranky Cass. It feels like different.
I know. Oh, well, we're going to call Kamau on Friday, so.
Right.
Oh, I shouldn't have said that out loud. Some people are going to warn him or something.
No, don't warn Kamau.
Didn't Stephanie say that she was going to give you some phone numbers?
Yeah.
Did she get any of those to you?
Not quite yet, but I believe they're on the way at some point soon.
I wish we could. I think
it's awkward for people to give up these phone numbers because they know what we're going to do with them.
I know. I know. Poor Kamau didn't realize when he gave us his number.
I mean, look at Scott Stantis because that's.
Oh, let's call Scott Stantis.
Okay, let's do that.
All right, then. More after this on 720 WGN. So I think we're going to wake up Scott Stantis. Before we do, one last thing I want to say before we take leave of our topic. I was talking about getting through the despair and fear of, you know, what my life would be like raising a child with a disability. I will say I want to thank my mother for being someone I could always count on and helping me through so much of that. And my husband, who is such a remarkable human being, so wonderful with our boys. He has been a stay-at-home dad for almost 9 years now. Part of that was not by choice at first. It was he was let go from his job. And after 2 years of seeking employment and eventually getting a job offer, we had to sit down and make a decision if it would be cost-effective to have him working. It was going to be from Jefferson Park, a commute from Jefferson Park to Naperville, which in traffic would be, you know, about an hour in each direction, and then a 9-hour job. So he would be gone for 11 hours a day, which meant that we would then have to hire someone who was medically trained to take care of our child. So the decision was made to have my husband stay at home. So Steve has been such an incredible person, such an incredible dad. There's no one like him, and I could not do what I do without him. The boys would not be where they are without him, happy and safe and healthy. And so thank you, Steve. I almost feel like not calling Scott after that. I know.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, why would we even do the wake-up call?
I don't know. Yeah. We should call my husband and wake him up. That would be horrible. It totally goes against everything I just said.
That's so mean.
I know. That's really quite mean. I just realized that I didn't.
If by any chance he's listening, though, Steve should call in.
Right, there you go. Well, I sometimes get messages from people like, we never see pictures of your husband. He is incredibly private. From the very beginning, not just with the boys, before we got married, he has always known that the possibility of whether it was in radio or stand-up comedy or television, that there was that possibility that he would have to like talk to strangers that would be familiar with our lives in ways that he didn't. Like, Facebook drives him a little bit crazy. He's never on Facebook, and he'll go drop Griffin off at school. One of the parents is like, so you guys were at Door County this weekend. And he's like, how do you know that? Patty mentioned she was up at Al Johnson's and she loves the goats on the roof, which I do very much, by the way. So it freaks him out a little bit that I'm very public, but I'm not as public with the boys' pictures. I never post their faces. And I never post a picture of Steve.
Have you always been attracted to opposites? Is an opposites attract kind of thing something you're interested in?
I think so, yeah.
Because I know Steve's also a lot more.
Why, you say I'm an extrovert?
No, not at all, Pat. Not even a little, of course not.
Are you saying I'm a bit of a chatterbox?
No, not even a little.
But Steve's very good with strangers, but you were saying.
No, but you guys mesh so well together. The couple times that I've been with the both of you at the same time, it's funny how well you both complement each other, and especially just in the way that you're going to probably do 90% of the conversation.
Yes.
And then the 10% that he's going to add is really great. Yeah.
He's brilliant.
He really is.
So smart.
He should
sit
in on a show sometime.
Yeah, it's never going to happen.
Yeah, I know.
I don't think he's ever been in the studio, has he?
No, he's not.
Griffin has.
Right? What if we put a black box over his eyes and then changed his voice?
There you go. Yeah, that would work very well.
Griffin and Declan have both been here.
Yes, they
have. Steve has not.
Steve has never been here.
When your mother has been here, she's been live on air with us.
Yes, she has. Yeah. Actually, when Griffin was a baby and I would be a regular guest on the Steve Cochran show, Steve, I would pick... I would, can't believe I've never told you this. I would drive from home. Steve worked at the John Hancock. This is 12 years ago. Griffin is 12 now. Steve used to have a job. He was an executive with the Financial Relations Board. Thanks a lot, guys. It was a really good job you did there. And then so I would pick up Steve. Steve would drive with Griffin in the car seat, you know, and he would just loop around while I was a guest on Steve Cochran's show. Then I would drop Steve back off at work and I would go home up the Kennedy.
Wow.
So, yeah. So, and sometimes, and Cochran would laugh because Cochran would be like, so how long can I keep you? I'm like, I don't remember how much gas is in the car. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah. So I felt really bad that we probably did a dent in the environment. Hey, Vic Vaughn, how are you doing?
Hey, guys. Hey, Patty.
Hello. So we are going to do a video series, we think, of Esmeralda going to pick you up and walk you to work.
Oh, yeah. We're so excited.
Is that okay?
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.